The Sportscast, June 6, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You could also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and review. Also, listen to us on online digital radio, on the app, The Sportscast for iOS. And you could also follow us on Twitter, The Sportscast One. A lot of late breaking news there. And, of course, our website, thesportscast.net. Also, we moved our website to a new server, so it'll be much quicker, faster. And, yeah. And also, subscribe to our newsletter, The Sportscast Daily. Sometimes you don't know who, like, what happened last night. Games that are, like, ending at midnight, you don't know what happened. But, hey, once you wake up, you'll see the email, you know, Colorado beating Edmonton or the Warriors beating the Celtics. But, anyways, last night, game two in the Chase Center, the Warriors were down 0-1, I don't remember the last time the Warriors were down 0-1, but they tied it up last night. Definitely complete different game for the Warriors. Last night, it was quite crazy. Anyways, to rehash this, Ryan Krista, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Santiago, it's good to be here. It's a must win by the Warriors last night. They took care of business.
The game was extremely close through the first 24 minutes, but in the third quarter, which they call the Warriors the third quarter team, got serious. They kicked it up a notch and gained some serious separation. Golden State outscored Boston 35-14 in that quarter, and they never looked back. They won the game 107-88. Steph Curry with 29 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 assists, while Jay Poole added 17 points off the bench, and the Warriors forced Celtics 18 turnovers. Ryan, your thoughts over last night's game two rematch?
Oh yeah, I mean the Warriors, like you said, you know, kind of back and forth first half. You know, Jason Tatum, you know, kind of carried the Celtics. I really think the strategy, you know, Steve Kerr, it's kind of one of those things where you let Jason Tatum go one-on-one, and if he scores and makes tough shots, let it happen, but don't double-team and leave these guys wide open. I mean, that's what happened last game. You know, they continue to leave, you know, Al Horford, Jaylen Brown, Derek White open for threes, and they were cashing it. So I think today, or last night, the Celtics, you know, kind of let Jason Tatum have, you know, a little more free roam of the court with the ability to, you know, taking away his playmaking ability and sense of, you know, if he's attacking, he's not attacking to dish off, he's attacking to score. So that was a big difference, you know. And then also, you know, the arrival back of Gary Payton, you know, to the lineup. What a, you know, defensive, energetic guy out there. I really thought the second team in the third quarter is really what separated the Warriors. You know, Jordan Poole, Payton, they really just catapulted this team, you know, to give them the energy, and they really just finished off the Celtics in the last, you know, 6 minutes of that third quarter, and like you said, and it was done. It was over. It was kind of like, I feel like, you know, they looked themselves in the mirror, you know, it was a close halftime score, you know, and they just, you know, it's kind of, you know, we can't come back in this locker room down 0-2 or this series is over. So good adjustments by Steve Kerr. You know, I think the Celtics also got distracted. You know, Draymond Green, didn't really affect the scoreboard very much. It kind of got in the head of the Celtics. Even as head coach Ime Udoka got called for a technical when he got distracted by Draymond Green. So you can't let those things get in your head, you know, when you play the Warriors. So, you know, revamp, you know, go ahead Wednesday night. It was a 1-1 series. Like I said, I think the last time we talked, as long as the Celtics got one game, they would feel pretty good about this series. And that's, you know, they accomplished that, you know, the first night. So last night it kind of had an appearance of, you know, a no-lose situation. Only, you know, I think that lousy period to, you know, led to turnovers and not playing that disciplined basketball they played in game one.
Tatum only had 28 points. Jaylen Brown, 17. Derek White, 12 points. Only three players in double digits. Al Horford, 2. Robert Williams, the third, 2 points. Marcus Smart, 2 points. Grant Williams, 6. Pritchard, 4 points. Aaron Nesmith with 4 points. Ryan, what does the Celtics need to do to turn things around and maybe lead the series 2-1 after this Wednesday?
You know, last game, 4 out of 5 starters scored in double figures. Another double figure score in Derek White off the bench. Like I said, the last game, you got 26 points from Al Horford in game one, 2 points. That's a big difference, losing 24 points from someone like Al Horford. But that's just, you know, Al Horford's role. He's not going to be a 26-point game scorer, you know. You're probably looking hopefully somewhere in the middle, you know, the 15 to 16 point range for Al Horford every game. So you got to meet him in the middle there. They just, role players got to step up, and typically role players do play better at home, so we'll see what happens, you know, for those other players besides Brown and Tatum for the Celtics.
The Warriors, of course, were on fire. Steph Curry did not get 40 points, but 29 points. Jordan Poole, 17. Wiggs, 11. Kevin Looney, 12. Draymond Green went from 4 to 9 points. Even we saw Nemanja Bjelica, 6 points. What made the difference for the Warriors this time around, Ryan?
The same thing I said about the Celtics role players not stepping up, the Warriors role players stepped up. They didn't need a Superman performance from Steph. Clay even had a, you know, another below average game for him. You know,
11 points
was average at best. Yeah. So I mean, when everybody steps up and does their job, the deafness of this Warriors team is incredible. And I think that might be the separation of the series. If they continue to get the role players to step like that, it's going to be tough for the Celtics to win 4 games.
Are we seeing the formulation? Do you still need to see more from these two teams? Like, hey, we don't know the winner. Can you point out a winner from this point, from this second?
We got a game plan for both teams how they need to win. I think, you know, both teams, you want to contain Jason Tatum, you want to contain Steph Curry, but who else around those two players is going to step up, you know, be the supporting cast? Like I said, the Warriors' deafness, you know, they just keep on coming and coming. They have players off the bench who haven't played yet, who have the ability to come in, you know, like, Kuminga or Damian Lee. We haven't seen these players yet. They've got the ability to, if they need to come, you know, to reshape the lineup. So, incredibly deaf for this Warriors team. It'll be interesting, you know, in offseason, you know, what they're going to do to keep this kind of core together.
Let me repeat my question. Is it anyone's series, Ryan, right now?
Go back to that. No, not yet.
You haven't seen you pretty much haven't seen enough yet. You have to see a little bit more sample size.
I saw a tale of two games. That's enough to say that I don't see the winner yet. Because when it shifts in there, you know, when you shift cities, you know, we'll see what type of home impact the Boston has.
There was a little bit of a scuffle with Draymond Green, and I believe Marcus Smart, correct me if I'm wrong, we'll be seeing more. Jaylen Brown. We'll be seeing more scuffles. Is this a strategy from either side, or does Draymond Green need to get his head straight and not be getting involved with technicals?
I think that's, he knows his goal is to kind of get people out of sorts, and he's going to push the limits. I had a little bit of a frustration, you know, so Draymond Green picks up another early double technical earlier in the game, and then there comes a scuffle, which he obviously deserved another double technical for. But in the light that he received a double technical earlier, he didn't get kicked out of the game. I thought that was a little... I didn't really like that, Santiago. I thought... I don't want to say it's bias officiating, it's circumstantial officiating, where, you know, they didn't want to toss anybody out because it's the finals. But if he's continuing to do his, you know, his side act, you know, it's not part of basketball. So I would like to see him hopefully next time that tossed them out of the game.
Something that was questionable. Boston is a hostile environment. You know, this will be the toughest road game for the Warriors' history in this level of the NBA. I mean, Cleveland doesn't match up to Boston. Toronto doesn't. Are the Warriors up for a surprise? A tough arena to play in. Ask Kobe Bryant. He says shooting those shots in those buckets are really tough. Are the Warriors ready for this?
I think the Warriors, yeah, because they got the core of the team has been there before. You know, they'll carry the younger players. But like I said, you know, this is where the difference where, you know, role players play better at home. Is Gary Payne going to have the same influence? Is Jordan Poole going to have the same influence as they did in Golden State? Is it, you know, as they will in Boston? We'll see. That's kind of what I'm looking for. You know, I think the game will kind of go back and forth early. You know, when you get into the bench time, you know, end of the first quarter, middle of the second quarter, you know, which bench differentiates themselves from each other?
Exactly. Bench role players. We now know the top two, Steph Curry for the Warriors and Tatum for the Celtics. So we'll see what happens. Game three is tomorrow night. No, Wednesday. 2 day of travel, 2 day of rest, much needed. Boston, the other side of the coast. So we'll see what happens. Let's continue with basketball. Surprising news. Utah Jazz coach Quinn Snyder steps down. Ryan, what happened? I know they lost against the Mavericks, but that cannot be the only reason. What were your thoughts over this news yesterday?
Well, I mean, right when the series is over, I thought, you know, the Jazz have kind of had this core together for a little bit. Reached kind of the apex in the regular season. I think last year was their best regular season, but never really put it together in the playoffs. There's definitely dysfunction between Donovan Mitchell and the organization and Rudy Gobert. I think it just got a little too much for Quinn Snyder. I thought he could have done this earlier, and I think he would be the hired as the Lakers head coach. So that's a little puzzling for me because I don't know why you wouldn't want to coach the Lakers, but because I think that was the name I would think the Lakers would hire in a New York minute because he's that type of person. But so I think there's just a lot of drama going on in Utah. I think, you know, if Donovan Mitchell's not all on board, you know, I think they're just trying to make him happy. So we'll see. I think Quinn Snyder will have him on his feet for sure. You know, I don't know if he'll take a year off or it's just a weird time to resign.
Weird time. Is this Utah situation going to look like what we saw in Portland this past couple of years?
It might. You know, like we saw Portland, you know, kind of been, you know, I think I said this a couple of podcasts ago, and it's my hope for the Mavericks not to be like that. You know, the Trailblazers, you know, 3 years ago, go up to the – kind of skip a step. You know, like the Mavericks hadn't won a first-round series. I think they were just happy to get to the second round. Well, they not just won the first round to get to the second round, and then they obviously weren't in the same class as the Warriors. Or you go back a couple of years, you know, I feel like the Trailblazers skipped a step, made it to the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors, and they kind of – expectations got too high, pressure got too high, and, you know, organization imploded a little bit. And then they eventually had to fire Terry Stotts, move on from CJ McCollum, and enter into total rebuild.
And New Orleans is a strong seed 8 against the Suns.
Yeah, I mean, that's another story. You know, we can talk in the offseason.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so you could see a situation. I really think they're going to try to move Rudy Gobert. Hopefully to Dallas, that would be a perfect landing spot for him. But,
you accept it?
I just don't. I would accept that, yes, as long as they're not trading Luka Doncic for him. But.
Hopefully not. All right. So back to Snyder. There is a position open in Charlotte. Michael Jordan is taking interviews with Mike D'Antoni and Kenny Atkinson. You know, might be too late for Snyder. But what are your thoughts for those two candidates for Charlotte? And who would you pick?
Well, Kenny Atkinson's a guy who was well-regarded. I think he did a great job in Brooklyn. He was kind of the last coach before, you know, they went and got superstars. So kind of got a raw deal. Took a bunch of mid-level players and got them to the playoffs, won a couple of games, but I think organization was just gearing up in another direction. Good X and O guys. Not a flashy hire, but Charlotte's not a flashy city either. So you got the, you know, Ball there. You got Terry Rozier. You got Gordon Hayward. You got a good core there.
Get the Ball brother.
And then you, Mike D'Antoni, he's kind of been around the block or two a little bit, you know.
But he's still in demand, though.
Because he's still a great basketball mind, great innovator. I'd like him to kind of be part of a staff, you know, maybe assistant coach. I just don't know. He's not a young guy. He's kind of be in his mid to upper 70s, I imagine. But I would love a Kenny Atkinson hire. I think that's a great hire if they could. Well, you know, but like I said, Quinn Snyder might be a guy, if he does want to stay, you know, maybe he's caught wind of this, he would be a candidate for that job and just punch a fresh start.
Would that be a good fit for Quinn Snyder in Charlotte with Eric Gordon?
Yeah, I mean, I think he is from that. I think he is from that area. I mean, he was a Duke graduate. I think Quinn Snyder is a heck of a coach and kind of be a fit anywhere.
Ken Atkinson was previously a coach for the Brooklyn Nets, another organization that is looking for answers there as well. So Charlotte, of course, in the running for a new coach, probably the hottest job available, but that's not saying much. Let's go into the NFL. Looks like they might decide the Broncos ownership this afternoon. Ryan, what are your thoughts and what have you heard?
It looks like it's going to be the heir of one of the Waltons. I think his name is Rob Walton. $4.3 billion is with his bid, and it looks to be the winning bid. It is what it is. I mean, you know, as long as he's ready to pour money into the team, and I'm all for it, you know. Man, a good owner is, you know who it is, but you seldom hear from him. So, you know, I'm not, you know. Obviously, being a Mavericks fan, I love a good Mark Cuban, but I think NFL, you need a different type of owner.
It's a different type of owner than the NBA owners, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
It's a different breed. There's definitely a different breed of people.
So the bids are due today at 3 p.m. Mountain Time, and the four groups are Rob Walton and his son-in-law, Greg Penner, Josh Harris, Jose Feliciano and Matt Ishbia. So those are the top four. There might be a fifth. Who knows? You know, it could be the same people who bought Chelsea. It could be Magic Johnson, which I think he's in one of the groups.
He's with the Josh Harris, who is the principal owner of the 76ers.
Yes, I remember that. Which I think he owns. I believe he owns Swansea City in the Premier League or up in the UK.
Who in America doesn't own a EPL club?
Half the Premier League teams are owned by Americans. Can you believe that?
That's got to kill the English people.
I know. And the other half, it's a mix of Arab and other international. So we'll see what happens with the Broncos. Russell Wilson's playing.
Who's the owner of Man City? Who's the owner of Man City?
Man City is an Arab guy, but I don't remember his name. Let's see here. Manchester City owner. For some reason, I would like to say the guy who owns Emirates, but I don't want to say that on live sportscast time. Let's see. Mr. Google says City Football Group, which is a majority owned by Abu Dhabi United Group, 10% by the American firm Silver Lake, and 12% by Chinese firm Chinese Media Capital and CITCI Capital. So it's kind of diverse.
I don't think I've ever seen a sports organization go from the dumpster fire to the penthouse quicker than Man City did a couple years ago.
Yeah. Money does talk. It builds, and they've won the Premier League a few times. This morning, Romeo Crennel, formerly from the Texans, announced his retirement after 50 years of coaching. He says, football has been my entity. My entity
and my his life, and it's been a dream come true to coach for 50 years. It's a long time. There's so many friends to thank who have helped me and supported me throughout my career. He thanked the New York Giants, Patriots, Jets, Browns, Chiefs, and Texans for allowing him to contribute to the game that I love so much for long. Ryan, your thoughts, and what's your best memory of Romeo Crennel?
I just remember him being a solid defensive mind, kind of, you know, was one of the first coaches that came out of the Bill Belichick coaching tree. Had some early success with the Browns back in the day. I think when they had a guy named Derek Anderson as quarterback, and then they drafted Brady Quinn, had high expectations, never really evolved. I think wherever he was there, his defenses always were well coached. They played hard. I don't know if he was ever, you know, whoever he thought of as genius, but I think just a solid football guy.
Solid football guy. He actually retired. And then in 14, Bill O'Brien brought him out of retirement to the Texans in 2014.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time in Houston his last couple of years. I think he was an intern coach a couple of years. I think when Bill O'Brien was fired. I think he was still the defensive coordinator last year under the previous coach, I believe.
The previous regime.
Yeah. So, definitely, you know, gave a lot to the game of football. But yes, time is probably ready for him to move on.
50 years of football is time to move on. Also, two other retirements last week. We'll love to hear your opinion. Ryan Fitzpatrick and, Ryan Fitzpatrick retiring as a Commander. What are your thoughts? And Frank Gore.
Fitzmagic, yeah. Huge support cast here in Western New York. One of the beloved Bills during a time of sadness in Buffalo, I guess, you know, with when the Bills, you know, definitely when they're absence in the playoffs, it's kind of the guy was always making games interesting because he could keep you in the game with his arm, you know, with touchdowns. We also could keep the other team in the game with the interceptions. Always play the chip on his shoulder. But that's what you do when, you know, a seventh round pick from Harvard and you stay in this league for so long, you know. You gotta have some moxie. And he just always made the game fun, you know, but, you know, never really took his team to the next level. He just was always got his team to the point of making the playoffs. I think with the Jets, he was close. With the Bills, he was close. The Dolphins kind of got a bad deal with the Tua at the end, you know. But that's football, you know. And Commanders, he got hurt last year. So it's what it is. But kudos to definitely an overachieving career for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Frank Gore, what a tough runner, you know. Hard nose. I think he was hoping to play a couple more years to play with his son, Frank Gore Jr., but just never really worked out. You know, the demand for an older running back isn't really there. But a lot of great years of the 49ers, you know, kind of, you know, helped Jim Harbaugh get on the map as an NFL coach. So, definitely, you know, in an age where, you know, running backs don't last very long, to put that many years in the NFL and that much tread on the tire, it's still produced to the very end is kudos to Frank.
Frank Gore retired as a Niner for a day. Pretty short and sweet, but a bitter moment for Frank, one of the greats running backs. Great Niner. So we'll see what happens. Looks like late breaking news. Garoppolo, I believe, will not be participating in mini camps. They're going to delay it, but there is rumors he might get traded. Your thoughts on that?
He's definitely going to get traded. I feel like it's just a matter of if it's going to be, because he just had shoulder surgery, so I don't think he'd be able to participate in OTAs.
Correct.
I think he's just not going to be there, which is kind of an indication that he doesn't really want to be there anymore, maybe, you know. Yeah, he's wants to move on. You know, it's a weird situation. They drafted Trey Lance, you know, one of their first picks in the draft last year. And it's just uncomfortable knowing that this guy is going to always be in, you know, your shadows, whether it's this year or next year. So he's probably just trying to put a bug in the Niners' ear. If you got a chance, please trade me.
There you have it. Something is brewing in San Francisco. We'll see where he lands, where he goes. A couple of teams need quarterbacks. You know, it could be Carolina. I don't think Seattle.
I think he's the guy. Yeah. I think he and Baker Mayfield are going to get traded. Once you see injuries happen, you know, once really training camp starts, you know, and
should be a summer splash of news.
Yeah.
The finale.
If Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy, he's going to play. Baker Mayfield will never play for the Browns again.
And lastly, Ryan Krista, do you think Justin Herbert is in the top 10 NFL quarterbacks right now in the league?
Yeah, because he's that type of – yeah, I wouldn't put him in the top five. I put him probably right there around 10. Because I think he takes an average team, an average talent level, and makes them better.
There
you go. And that's even without even making the playoffs. So I think he gets to the next level. But, you know, this will be a truth. You know, there's no easy games in AFC West anymore, Santiago. It's going to be brutal.
Brutal AFC West.
You're going to have a good quarterback not make the playoffs this year.
That is correct. Division. Looking forward to it.
You're going to have a good team that's not going to make the playoffs. Well, if they all beat up on each other, there could be multiple teams that don't make the playoffs in that division.
AFC West will be in a lot of the primetime games.
And I'm waiting for your text, though, Santiago. It's almost every year you ask me when the Chiefs lose an early season game, is it AFC West in play? And I will say this year, yes, it is.
It is already.
You just say no, it's not. Yeah.
We got to put you and Jeff on a show together and talk about the AFC West.
Yeah. Then you can get Tyler talking about Justin.
That's right.
Herbert.
Tyler is a Charger fan for some reason. Okay. All right. Anything else before we head into the prediction part of two predictions?
Nothing else about it, you know. Hockey-wise, 3-0 for the Avalanche, 2-1 for the Rangers over Lightning. So we'll see what happens and see if the Avalanche can go for a sweep tonight and enter the Stanley Cup. And we'll see.
That segues nicely into predictions. Who you got tonight? Game 4, Colorado at Edmonton Oilers. Will Avalanche close it out? Go for the kill tonight.
No, I think you got that old, you play your best game you've ever played, so you don't get swept. So I think the Oilers win.
Do you think the Rangers can pull it off with the Lightning and go to the Stanley Cup final?
I think this might be a series where the home team really dominates. The Rangers haven't played very well on the road in this playoffs for the most part. But they just play really good at home. So I really think this is a 7-game series where all the home team wins.
What is the differences between – I know, like, what are the differences between the home and road strategy with the NBA playoffs and Stanley Cup? I mean, is there a little bit of a differences there, or, like, they're pretty much similar? Hey, you got home court and you have more advantage.
It's similar. I think basketball means the most, I feel like. Because you can really thrive off the energy. You can say the same thing for hockey. It's circumstantial, I guess. It all depends on the teams and cities, and we'll see. I know.
We'll see what happens. Finally, Golden State at Boston Wednesday, Game 3, 9 p.m. Eastern on ABC. Hopefully see Mike Breen back. Who you got for Game 3, Ryan Krista?
I'm going to go with Boston. I think they bounce back.
Boston,
they just showed me a lot
series
in Game 1 what it could have been.
Interesting. Ryan takes a bold move. Random question of the day. Ryan, which eyewear do you wear the most? Options are glasses, bifocals, sunglasses, or progressive lens.
Well, the only glasses I ever need ever is sunglasses, so I guess I'll play that.
Sunglasses. Winning, tied 50% with progressive lens. glasses and bifocals are at zero.
Yeah, thank the good Lord, I have good vision. So
good vision. No need for laser contacts or progressive lens. You can go vote on our Twitter, the Sportscast One on Twitter. Yesterday, USA tied Uruguay 0-0, but now we know the opponent for the World Cup. It's Wales, so it's Wales, USA, England, and Iran. This is a tough group, all kidding aside. Ryan, your thoughts?
Well, if we can't beat Iran, we don't deserve to move on.
It's like what Landon Donovan said. If we can't beat Slovenia, we don't deserve to be in the World Cup.
So Wales, I think, you know, as long as we, you know, play discipline, we should be okay. I don't think they have very much firepower beyond what Garth Bale, but I think we'll be okay. England, I think, obviously, be a tough game, but this is definitely, I don't think, an overwhelmingly tough group. There's definitely tougher groups out there, and we've been in tougher groups, so I like our chances of moving on.
There you go. Ryan puts confidence over America on this show. Ryan, what
Christian
is the...
Klitschek wants more Americans at a game.
Ryan just got over COVID. Ryan, what is the best way to reach you online to ask you about what remedies to take to get over COVID?
The Mad Dog Report on Twitter. Just hydrate yourself. Hydrate.
Ryan is a COVID survivor. Got it out in 5 days. He's working after 5-6 days. Hey, if he can do it, anyone can.
Absolutely.
He can reach us at the Sportscast One or the Sportscast.net. We'll be discussing late breaking news, of course, what's gonna happen in Charlotte, meeting with Air Jordan, and of course any moves on Garoppolo. Might be not this week, maybe in a couple of weeks. We'll see what happens. And, of course, coachings. A lot of things going on with the NBA. Snyder is available. He might be going somewhere that we have not thought about. So we'll see what happens.
Never know.
What was that?
You never know.
You never know. And also, you know, what is the correct pronunciation of Robert Gobert? Is it Robert Gobert or Gobert? I don't know. We have to ask him himself. So
Gobert.
Well, Ryan, I got to go. There's an Apple announcement. They might announce AR glasses, so I'll keep you guys posted on that.
All right, Santiago, you're a tech expert. Santiago Leon.
And this was your update.